Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. UVA graduation weekend and all those graduates, so many who aren't going anywhere, staying right here in Charlottesville and need to know about the real estate market. That's what we're doing for you today. Our guests, Mr. Matt Hughes, Charlottesville Sales Manager at Presidential Bank Mortgage. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Rick.
Thank you for being here with me again today. As a regular on the program, many years back at WNRN, another station, I probably shouldn't mention their name, many years back at another radio station here in town, and third or fourth visit here at WPVC, we appreciate your time and effort.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
And Mr. Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, welcome.
Hey, Rick. Good morning.
And good morning to you. Because real estate, something everyone in the United States must have. Because without it, that's what we must have. Right? Correct?
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but it's true. It's you know, you got to have food, clothing, food, water, clothing.
Shelter.
That's just where we are in the world. So we're here today to talk about it. You gentlemen, experts in getting it, finding it, and affording it, correct?
We can help with the finding. We can help. Matt can help with the financing. Affording is a whole nother conversation. That's a sort of an individualized thing. But I think that we do our best with our respective areas of expertise.
Well, but you can tell people if they can afford it or not. Is that correct?
Yeah, interestingly, Rick, lately we've seen a real trend towards the client self-selecting lower payments and much lower debt-to-income ratios, which is really positive for the industry. It doesn't mean that they are pushing their debt-to-income ratios, their ability to afford the house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing people are a similar vein. They are also making decisions on whether to buy on longer horizons. So they're looking at a home that's going to be, instead of when I started practicing 17 years ago, God, I'm old.
You mean back when you went all the way back to when you were 12?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, when I started practicing, people were looking at, you know, 3 to 5 year horizons. And now I would say the most of my buyer clients are looking, unless they're investors, and the investors are looking for buy and hold. Purchasers are looking for 7 to 10 to 15 year horizons. And so it's, I mean, in many ways, it's a really good and healthy thing because they're deciding to qualify solely on one income, and I'm getting more of that, where they're, you know, instead of stretching and needing both to be high earners, it's based on one, so they can have an easier lifestyle. And they're deciding to be somewhere where they can, if they have kids, that they can be there from elementary school through high school. So it's something that I think is incredibly healthy in a lot of ways, but it's also raises some challenges because it makes the available inventory on the market much more challenging, because as people stay in their homes longer because they're happier for longer periods of time, they're staying, and there are fewer homes on the market for people to buy.
Well, then let's start with people who are trying to stay in the home they have now because it's a tight market. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to stay in the home you have now, and you're almost, it sounds like you're almost forced to stay in the home you have now because it's a tight market.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Matt Hodges from Presidential Bank Mortgage. You go to the bank. The bank tells you how much money you have to work with, correct?
Yeah, how much you can afford, sure. Certainly based on what the client's available cash is, what their current debt load is, what their income. Yeah, we can give them a framework of how much they can afford.
So, and then, Jim, do they, is this something that they even come to you with? Do they go to find Jim Duncan at Nest Realty, or is this even a where a realtor plays into this?
No, I mean, I think that from my role representing the buyer, you know, I talk to them, I learn more about what their needs and wants are, help them identify a strategy for moving forward. But I think it's also a function of when we start having that conversation in parallel, I recommend them to go to a trusted local lender, usually Matt, frankly. And, you know, it because Matt is really good, you know, one, at what he does, and two, I use a term comfortable when talking about affordability with my clients. I mean, what is your comfortable price point? You know, Matt can certainly say, well, if you, you know, spend all your money every month on a house, you can afford X, which is a really high number. But comfortable, where you're drinking good craft beer and going out to dinner once in a while and going on trips and vacations and living life outside your home, that's a comfortable price point. And they're oftentimes they're very different. And again, we respectively have, you know, years of experience where, you know, years ago it was people buying the most expensive house that they could possibly afford without much consideration for what if we're here for 7 to 10 years, because the horizon was much shorter, you know, 15 years ago. So I think that there's a very, you know, very intentional comfort level of affordability that I, you know, oftentimes, you know, my role as a representative is to guide people appropriately. And sometimes that is saying, this house, you know, guiding them. I don't make any decisions, but helping them to determine whether the house is right or not right for them. And sometimes it's not the right fit, whether it's location, size, et cetera, or sometimes it's affordability, where I can sense, you know, oftentimes it's partners, that there's a discomfort that neither one is expressing as vociferously as they should. And, you know, I help guide them to ask that questions of each other. So, yeah, I mean, the affordability is something that we work in our respective lanes, if you will, to help guide them appropriately.
Well, it used to be, and I can't answer whether this is how long ago this was, but, you know, the things you read about on the internet, you know, it was 33% of your income goes to your house. Is that still an accurate statement? Was that ever true?
So the 28-36 ratios have been bandied about for years, and other ratios, including 33. And what we're talking about is the adjusted gross income per month. It's not net income. So that's really important for someone to realize is I work off of your gross income each month. You don't take home gross. So it's really important that we dial back what they can afford.
So if my wife and I make a total of, I'll say $100,000, because right, that's easy to do the math with.
Well, I've got to do it by month, but yes, I can do it.
Okay.
That's $8,000 a month, roughly. So you can afford $4,000.
Well, let's do $10,000.
That's good with math.
Because I can do that. Because not everybody's good with with math. So let's do the easy numbers.
So you make $120,000 a year, which is $10,000 per month.
Okay.
You can afford $5,000 worth of recurring installment and mortgage debt every month. 50% of your gross income. That's insane. Nobody wants to do that. And we start the conversation with the client is, you can afford this, but then you won't be able to do anything else. You won't be able to buy craft beer. You won't be able to go on vacation.
Pay your power bill.
We very intentionally talk about that.
I jump in because I think power bill utilities is something that we're seeing more and more of my clients are asking about is, how much does the house cost to run? You know, is it an older, 1918.
Right. Is it a farmhouse?
Yeah, that costs $600 a month to run, or is it a newer home in the city that's Earthcraft certified, that's a green built home, where it's $115 a month?
You know, what's really interesting is the only loan out there that accounts for net and things like maintenance and utilities, childcare, is the VA loan. Veterans Administration is smart enough to use what's called residual income to make sure that veteran can afford it long term. I wish all of the loan programs were built that way.
Wow. I didn't know that. Thank you.
We have to do a math equation on the square footage of the house to create what the maintenance cost will be, what it projects to be in the future. And then we ask, okay, do you have kids? And is somebody going to take care of those kids? And how much is it going to cost you each month?
Our guest today Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, Matt Hodges from Presidential Bank Mortgage, telling us some things that even our realtor didn't know. Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, as we talk about real estate, local real estate. I'm sure we'll expand our conversation a little bit. We're talking about mortgage to get started a little early in the program, 10 minutes after the hour.
Hey, may go back to the staying in your home for longer periods of time, because I think it's something that Matt's seeing a lot of. He's seeing a lot of the renovations, a lot of people staying in their homes for extended periods of time. But you know, a negative connotation to how some people are looking at that is, as one of my clients told me, they felt like they're trapped in their home because they bought it 10 years ago, making these numbers up, for $250. It's now worth $350, and they have, instead of having 0.7 kids, they now have 2.9 kids. You know, and they are looking for that next trade up.
Right, they need more space.
They could easy numbers, they could walk away with $100,000 to put to the next home. The next home is going to be in the 550 to 625 range. And I think that it's something that we're, at least I'm seeing through my lens in the Charlottesville area market, is that the people are choosing to stay where they are and be a little bit more uncomfortable in some regards in a smaller home that doesn't fit them anymore. But they're choosing to keep that lower mortgage so they can live their lives outside.
When you say stay where they are, do you mean stay where they are in the Charlottesville area or stay where they are in the same school district?
In that house.
In that house?
Yeah, because because the jump from a $250,000 mortgage to a $500,000 mortgage is significant when you also have those residual costs. When you started there at $250 with no kids, now you're looking at a $550 home with three kids and a dog and a new car and a new minivan. It's people are making the conscious decision to say, I'm not going to sell, which removes one home from the first-time home buyer market, and I'm not going to buy because I'm choosing to not afford that. So it's something that, I'm seeing a lot of my clients are having a conversation about renovating their existing home and staying in that physical location. And it's something that's, I think there's a lot of positivity to maintaining a consistent community base. And also there is some negative component to that, because the people who have been renting for 7 years and they want to make that purchasing decision are not able to find anything. So they're delaying that purchase for another 5 to 7 years until they can afford 20% down on a more expensive home.
Alternately, you see couples that are wanting a specific area to purchase in, whether it be in the city or some other neighborhood, and they're having to settle, if you will, for a different house than they actually want to buy. But they are so keyed in on the location that they're willing to accept a house that is 1,000 square feet instead of 2,500. That has two bedrooms and one bath, or two bedrooms and two baths, and they're looking at the location and then dealing with the renovation after the fact, which we do as well. But it's in a tight market like this, especially in the city, people are settling for properties where they would not have necessarily in the past.
I term that with my clients, getting to the point of saying this is good enough, which is it's a hard thing to say that you're spending $425,000 or whatever that price point, whether it's $225,000 or $1.25 million, getting to that point of this is good enough is hard when you're spending a tremendous amount of money on somewhere where you're going to be for 7 to 15 years. So it's something that, again, from a buyer rep perspective, I really do a lot of it is counseling and helping people understand where they are today and where they expect to be in 7 to 10 years. And making that locational decision, because it's an old adage, location, location, locations, but you can't change that. You can usually add a bedroom, a master bedroom suite, and another bath, but you can't change it from X school district. Oftentimes that's done for you because the county redistricts, but you can't change the physical location of the property. So I think that it sounds somewhat absurd for a realtor to be saying this, But I think that the house in many ways is secondary to the where you are in respect to, you know, work, play, enjoyment, parents, or, you know, we're having a lot of multi-generational people move into the area where they need the in-law suite or they want one to live nearby. So there are a lot of components that go into what we talk about with our clients. Is it's more than just the house. It's also, you know, the day-to-day life. I counsel folks to, when they get to a certain point in the conversation about whether to move to X location, it's a role play, if you will. You know, what's life going to be like in 17 months? Which is a hard thing to ask somebody to do. You know, whether you're 25 years old or 45 years old, projecting out a year and a half is a challenging thing to do, but it's an exercise that I think is critical to being comfortable with your decision the day after you make the offer, when you close, and then in 5 years you look back and say, well, it wasn't the best decision, but we did our due diligence and made sure that we did it. Or we feel really good about where we are. You know, we've had, you know, two kids here and a dog, and we're glad we took our time instead of buying in 36 hours, spending, like a lot of my clients, 19 months. I closed three houses this year with people respectively who I worked with for 4 years each. You know, so it takes time to figure out where you want to be.
You know, it's interesting. Again, our guest today, Jim Duncan from Nest Realty, Matt Hodges from Presidential Bank Mortgage. I heard the number 7 years about how fast life has sped up. Because am I wrong that, or am I aging myself, how in the past, you would have bought the house for 25 to 30 years to live in it. I mean, am I going back to my grandparents' era?
Yeah. It was 5.5 to 6.5 years in the last 10 years, roughly. But that is greatly slowed down. People are staying in their houses longer than that at this point.
National average is about 10 years per, you know, people will stay in a house for 10 years now. And when I started, it was, you know, 4.5 to 5 years. And now it's, you know, much closer to 10. And I think the days, again, my mom's still a practicing realtor, and I would have to ask her. But, you know, my recollection of, you know, studying the market is that many years ago, people would move into a house and live there for 30 years and then get a pension from their job and retire. And that's not as prevalent anymore.
17 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about the tight market in general here in the Charlottesville area. We started by talking about the need for renovation and whether or not people were going to just accept, Jim, what was the phrase you used for just accepting the house?
Getting trapped.
That they, you know, because of, they couldn't find exactly what they wanted. But it's because that Charlottesville is a tight market.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, it goes back to when we were in the depths of the recession. A friend of mine out in the Phoenix market wrote a story that is similar in a lot of ways, in that he called it falling in love with your home all over again. Because in the depths of the recession, you couldn't sell your house out there, here too. But in Phoenix, they got decimated. And so people could not sell their houses for anything. And so he was guiding people to realize the reasons that you purchased your home 6.5 years ago. And there was a reason, or a multitude of reasons. Reflect on those and fall in love with it all over again. You know, so I think that you're starting to see that as well, as people are buying in the city or the county or the urban ring or, you know, wherever. You know, that they might want to make that life shift, but they are not in a position to do so because the next side of that transaction is far more expensive. So I think it's something that, you know, it is what it is. I think that, you know, in the grand sense of things, we're still looking at, you know, even if you are in that house for 12 years instead of 7, you know, we still live in a pretty awesome place. You know, the Charlotte-Albemarle area is still a tremendous place to be. And there's a reason that people continue to target this area and they want to be here.
And Rick, what Jim is saying might sound odd for a realtor to say, or a lender to say. He's been in the business 17 years. I've been in the business over 19 years. We are long standing because we don't want to drive customers into buying a new house because it's 5 to 6 years later. We ultimately want them to be happy with the purchase decision, which then will lead to other referrals to family, friends, et cetera. But if we try to coax, to push somebody into buying that next house just because 5 or 6 or 7 years or 10 years has elapsed, it would be insane. It would be detrimental to our careers anyway.
Explain that a little more.
Yeah, so the feeling can come out with a client that you're urging them to make that next best decision, that larger house that's going to add $100,000 to $150,000 to the value, and they're going to have to come up with a new down payment. They're going to have closing costs to spend when they buy the house. They're going to have realtor commissions to spend when they sell the house. All of that is a stressful situation, and unless it's done for the right reasons, it shouldn't be done at all, right? We should be good ambassadors with relationship to your real estate, to your biggest investment that you've made in your life so far.
So, and excuse me for the phrase for those folks who have this as a career job, but it sounds like what many people use as the metaphor of used car salesman. If you do this just because you're trying to sell them to buy a new, to buy another home rather than keep the one they have because that is the best thing for them at this time in
Glenn
life.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
Yeah, always be closing. I mean, I think that's sort of fair. I mean, I think it's fair to the to think of it as, you know, what I'm, you know, technically what I am, I'm licensed as a, well, I'm associate broker, but a salesperson. So technically I'm in sales and I get paid on commission. But if I were to get paid on the number of times that I advised somebody to not sell or to not buy, I'd make more money, because it's my role is, as Matt was saying, it's not a short-term focused on Jim transaction. It's focused on what's best for the client. And frankly, the clients recognize that. It's why, you know, one of the reasons that each of us are reasonably successful in our fields is that we put our clients first. And I've had people come and say, "You were so great to my guys, to my friends, you told them to stay. Why would you do that?" You know, because it's the right thing to do. And it's far easier to do the right thing consistently than it is to do things focused on the short term. And frankly, I see a lot of these people at the coffee shop or the soccer field or, you know, out riding bikes or whatever, and we're part of the community. And I want people to want to see me.
Let me take a break. I'm late on my break. 94.7 WPVC Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. And back with the guest today, Matt Hodges, Charlottesville Sales Manager, Presidential Bank Mortgage, Jim Duncan, Nest Realty. As we talk about real estate, some of it even local. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Jim, you sent me notes on divorce.
So, well, I sort
copy
of
copy and pasted.
That might have come from me.
Oh, okay.
What would you like to know, sir?
Well, there's some notes here that I have to say that I'm curious as to why that's on the list. So is that because, obviously without name, that came up as is that an issue in the current market at in the mortgage market? Is that an incident that came up that made you put this down as a note for conversation today?
Well, I mean, I'm going to lead in for Matt. I mean, I think that in real estate, a lot of the times that we talk to clients is because people tend to make buying and selling decisions based on life events. Birth, death, marriage, divorce. And so, you know, it's something that is, again, we're very mindful of. Life happens to people. And so that's one of the reasons I think Matt put it on there.
Yeah. It's been a growing part of my business. It's not something that I sought, but it's something I became very proficient at. When couples are separating, divorcing, they need to do often one of three things or a combination of three things. Sell the house, refinance the house, buy a new house. and trying to navigate those waters the best I can with sometimes both of the best interests in mind, and usually the best interest, even if I'm only working with one side of the transaction, is really important. There was a year that I spent working with four couples on both sides, and two of them came in together to make loan application in parallel track because they knew it was in the best interest of each of them to cooperate with the other. So we're seeing that in the marketplace, and I don't know what the trend is. I don't know what the statistics say about divorcing couples in the Charlottesville area, but my experience has been that it's been a growing field, and those people are tending to be cooperative or collaborative. So there's a real movement to have a collaborative effect where you've got one attorney or perhaps two attorneys that are assisting the clients around a table versus shooting documents back and forth, which can be very adversarial. Hey, let's see if we can figure out this process so that we can both end up with a winning situation. So that's why I put the divorces on there. There are aspects of divorce lending that are unique. For example, one of the clients wants to keep the house, and they owe a buyout to the other spouse, something called a Brandenburg formula, which was a court case years ago that calculated how much equity one spouse had depending on how long they've lived in the house, what the equity position is when they bought the house, et cetera. And so sometimes a situation like a cash out refinance needs to occur. So the loan balance is 200. They need 250. It was one of the spouses needs $50,000 as a part of the buyout. That might not be a cash out refinance for financing terms. That could be a rate and term as a special type of refinance. That's important because it allows loan to values to be pushed without a hit on pricing. I know I've thrown a lot at you there really quickly, but my point is that I understand the intricacies of the divorce and the separating couples.
I mean, from my perspective, don't have the same aspect of that that transactional experience with this Matt does, but I think that it's in my from my role, it is often very similar to many other aspects, and that a lot of this is listening, frankly, and being mindful that whether they're divorcing, marrying, etc., this process is inherently stressful. It is traumatic, whether you're, whether you're getting divorced or not. Moving itself is a traumatic experience, and being aware that there are life shifts that are happening, that are for some people it's something where they lose sleep for nights in a row and weeks in a row until it is all over. So I think that it's important to know that those of us who are who do this on a daily basis are listening. And are actively listening because it's something that it's important for people to be heard, and it's also important. And it sounds silly and trite, but it's important for them to feel like they're being heard, and know that in Matt's role and my role, we are fairly impartial. Our role is to represent the people, whether they're together or soon to not be together, is to represent them to the best of our capacity through their respective life changes. So it's something that candidly, I always joke that a lot of what I do is not, it wasn't in the Yellow Book of Real Estate Principles that I studied many years ago. It's through experience, and it's through watching how real estate is an inherently stressful and traumatic thing for a lot of people. And divorce is a significant life event.
Yeah, Jim said it. It's the clients sometimes don't feel like they're being heard, especially a divorcing spouse. Mm-hmm. Who might have felt the situation was unfair or balanced towards his or her spouse.
Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges here today on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call as we talk about real estate and many issues that I'm sure people were not considering before the hour started, such as how divorce might play into real estate. 11:30 here today. We've been talking a lot about buying and selling. Mm-hmm. My life and connection with real estate over the past few months have had to do with leasing. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes. My understanding is it true that more people have been trying to rent a home? Has that percentage of people been going up? People always talk about how you hear that millennials, of which I cannot be a part of, have been more likely to rent a home or rent a space than purchase.
It's funny. I was having a similarly vain conversation with a friend and client yesterday. He was reflecting upon how a lot of the millennials, well, I always hesitate to generationalize anything, but a lot of people, whether they're young or young at heart or what have you, are making conscious and deliberate decisions to rent rather than buy, because there's a lot of folks, one, don't want to be tied down to a physical location. They want to have the flexibility to go and go on a canoeing trip for a week or a month. Or pick up and say, my job is here, but I have the ability to live anywhere, whether it's Charlottesville or Boise or Portland. I don't feel like living in Charlottesville anymore. I'm going to go to Portland, Oregon. So I think that you have a significant contingent of people who want that component. But it's also, I work anecdotally in a lot of ways. I had a client many years ago who, frankly, still owns his house. They don't live here anymore. But he came to me, wanted to sell his house, said that he'd work, the company for whom he worked, he had been offered a position, a raise and a promotion if he were to go to another state. At the time, he was not able to do so because he needed to sell his house and he was underwater. And, he since has moved on to another opportunity. But I remember that vividly because they said they felt like they were tied down to their home. I had another client that said to me years ago that they were never going to buy a home again, which was in part because they'd lost significant part of their savings, if not all of them. And it was, again, a traumatic experience for them. But it's something where they said, we want the mobility. We want to be able to pick up and go. And a few minutes ago, we were talking about people no longer working for 30 years and getting pensions. A lot of people, I was skimming something this morning before coming on, saying that many Americans will move a dozen times in their lifetimes. I wouldn't advise buying and selling a dozen times in your lifetime. You look at people who do that, and it's expensive and it's hard. Moving is one thing. Buying and selling is more involved. So I think that there are a lot of people who choose to rent. And they pay, they could pay $2,500 a month in mortgage. They're choosing $1,400 a month in rent, and they're banking that $800. I'm leaving in some discretionary spending there.
Understood.
But I think that it's for a lot of people, it's conscious, deliberate decision of how they want to live their lives. And I am seeing that through the lens of younger folks now, who are choosing to be more mobile, have the freedom to pick up and go. Not necessarily wherever they want, but wherever they're able to go. So I think it is certainly something we're seeing more of. And the rental market in Charlottesville, Albemarle, it's hard. It's tight. If you've got cats or dogs, good luck. I mean, there aren't very many options. And despite that, when I tell people who are moving to the Charlottesville-Albemarle area and they're coming in cold, I advise them to rent first because I want them to figure out life first and then buy. Because shifting leases, while difficult, is easier than selling when you bought in the wrong location or the wrong school district or the traffic pattern shifted. So we're seeing a lot more people who are choosing to rent for longer periods of time. But through my lens, representing buyers and sellers, a lot of them are choosing to buy at later dates. As I say that, I think about student loans, which is a huge component of the market. And it's something that I've had many clients have said, as soon as my student loans are paid off, then I'll be able to buy. It's hard and frustrating to hear because that's one of those things that Matt can say, do these three things and increase your credit score and you'll be able to do this. But there's not an easy answer to, okay, pay off your 15-year student loans in 4 years and then you can buy a house. So there are a lot of aspects that impact whether people are able to buy and whether they choose to buy.
One of the first questions I ask clients when they come to me about buying a house is, what's your lease situation? When does your lease end? Are you month to month? What is the cost to break the lease early? I want them to go in open-eyed to their purchase situation so they know what their costs are going to be. And oftentimes, and one of Jim's clients is waiting a full another year. They've re-signed their lease for another year, which is fine. We're a long-term realtor and lender, but we're very aware of the leasing component of when somebody might buy.
One of the things that I found while trying to find a place to rent was that the Charlottesville market for, and as you mentioned, Jim, for a detached home in this city and county is miserably tight. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be, if you don't want to find a place to live or where the lease starts in June, July, or August, forget it.
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, answering or responding tangentially to a certain degree, I think that our market needs more density. We need more duplexes, quadplexes, more options for people to buy. And I'm finding that more of my clients are intent on buying a home that fits them and their needs, and they're not necessarily targeting single family or attached. They're saying, I need a home that's great for me, that has, again, my world is all self-selecting. My clients come to me, and so they, you know, they have some things that are very similar. But they want a home with, you know, X bedrooms, X baths, a place for the dog to go out in the, 2 o'clock in the morning, and a place to grow tomatoes and herbs. You can find that in a single family home, and you can also find it in an attached home. But I think that our market needs more options, and it needs greater density, particularly in the city, but also the urban ring of the county, because we have people who continue to move here and they want to be in this area. And so I think it's incumbent upon, developers and localities to recognize that and nudge that forward. And I'm not talking about West Main. West Main is a whole another animal as far as the massive apartment complexes and hotels and things like that. I'm thinking more smart, thoughtful density where people can come in and they can they can get their 1,200 to 1,800 square foot home and live outside the home as much as they're living inside, if not more.
I also found, and I won't mention the business, but I also found while looking a wonderful home that I thought might work for us, and I found it in early April, and I contacted the business to see if it was available and was told no, it wasn't, and the company knew nothing about us at that point, mm-hmm. and other than a name and a phone number. No, it's not available. Sorry. And then 2 weeks later, it was still posted. I called back and said, you see that it's still posted. Oh, sorry, we'll take that down. And 2 weeks later, it was still posted. And I realized all that company is doing is trying to drag people into their website to see what's up there. That's all they're doing with that home. So be careful, folks.
I advise that whether you're buying, selling, or renting, to always trust and verify. Because sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's not, and I think that you never know until you try and find out and ask three or four times.
And it wasn't that far away from where I'm living now, and it's unfortunate that some businesses are like that, but not Nest Realty, where Jim Duncan, one of our guests today, works, or Matt Hodges at Presidential Bank Mortgage. We're going to take our second break and come right back, and we're going to move on and talk about some gas prices and UVA growth and rates in general. Hang tight. And thanks for hanging tight with us today here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm Rick Moore. Guest today, Matt Hodges and Jim Duncan, as we talk about real estate. Matt, Residential Bank Mortgage Charlottesville sales manager. Rates for our mortgages. Tell us more about that, because my notes show that the direction of the rates and forecasts, that information is all going to start with you.
Sure. All of that projection right now is upwards, perhaps flat in some cases.
So it's going to cost me more?
It's going to cost you more.
To buy a house?
That's what it looks like. You know, we can't predict the future, but we can look at what has happened in the recent past as a guide. So back in December or so, we were low fours, maybe even 3 7/8 for a 30-year fixed. Real nice, right? Not at historic lows, but pretty decent. January through February, 6 to 8 week process, we just climbed nearly every single day. It corrected a little bit, stayed flat, climbed a little bit through about a week ago or so. And then we jumped up again. And so an average rate today could be anywhere from 4.75 to 5%, depending on the scenario for the client. Credit score, loan to value plays into those types of things. Where's it going to go, though? I mean, nobody knows. Right now, the economy looks like it's in a positive trajectory, that job growth is strong, unemployment numbers are going down. But what could occur in the future? Well, the Treasury will issue new bonds to sell on a monthly basis. And how much they decide to sell is based on what they need to fund within the government. A higher issuance is going to be problematic, because that money's got to go into treasuries. It's going to hurt our mortgage rates. What will happen with growth? Will it continue to go towards that Fed equilibrium of about 2% inflation growth? We don't know. The European Central Bank has a play here too. Either in September or December, they're going to completely stop their bond buying program, what we call quantitative easing. The effects of all of these different things are going to have a play on where interest rates go, whether they go up, they go down. There's a couple of things that that could be a positive for interest rates, but a negative for the economy. So sort of think about them as diametrically opposed. When the economy is slumping, interest rates tend to improve or go down. So, you know, what are those things? Sell off in the stock market. Right now, we've just seen the stock market climb continuously, or at least continually. A big trade war. So there's been some discussion with China about hitting tariffs on incoming products both ways. So is there going to be a full-blown trade war? That's going to be bad for the economy. People won't be buying widgets, right? People could lose jobs in that situation. A huge global arms conflict. You know, nobody wants that, but tensions around the world are high. And if something like that, especially if it involves American troops, is going to be bond-friendly, interest-rate-friendly. Shifts in the economic cycle. Just, are businesses hiring more people? Are they building new factories? Or are they shuttering them? Are they shifting jobs overseas? We don't know where that's going to occur. But what we've seen over the last 6 months is a worsening market for interest rates. So we're cautious about that with our clients.
So I should buy my house from Jim tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? Well, he's not going to sell today.
Sure he is.
Yeah?
Sure. We see contracts on Sundays all the time.
Really?
All the time.
But I can't get it from you today because the bank is closed.
The bank may be closed, but Matt is never closed.
Right? So I can sign
Matt
my papers today?
Matt takes loan applications on Sundays, Saturdays, in the evenings.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so on that, I mean, I think that it's, you know, yeah, I've had a lot of my clients, buyers and sellers, have indicated that the, for lack of a better term, the state of our world is encouraging them to make a decision to either sell and go somewhere else or buy, and so that they are set for the next 10, 15 years. And they, you know, I think it's something that, is certainly affecting my clients' decision making processes. But on the rates, I mean, it's something that when I have a seller and I present an offer that we get to them, I have I lay out the components of the offer. Closing date. Is it a local lender? Time frame for response, et cetera. I just probably in the last 2 weeks added interest rate cap in as a piece by which we need to evaluate for the first time in I can't remember how long, because that's something now that I want to make sure when I'm representing a seller that there's a sufficient buffer in there so that if the rates go up half a point, the buyer is not legally and contractually able to get out of the contract within the financing date based on that raise. So if I get an offer today and the cap is 4.875, I might be inclined to respond, to advise my sellers to respond and make it at 5.5 or 5.25, because in the next 45 days, there's a lot of volatility, a lot of fluctuation and fluidity, and rates could shift. And so I want to make sure that my sellers are protected, and frankly, the buyers too. So that we're not already having a way out of the contract that is risky at best. So it's every day that rates shift and rates change, I think that we're looking at where we stand in the market and understanding what impact that's going to have on our clients. But as rates go up, it's I had a client the other day texting me a screenshot of a Wall Street Journal story that was about increasing rates, and he texted me, he's a buyer who wants the market to slow. He texted me and said, is this going to slow down the Albemarle County market at all? No, hopefully. He wants it to slow down because he's not being able to buy anything yet. So, I think it's something that as we enter an increasing rate environment, it's certainly something to be very mindful of, because it also will affect affordability and affect sellers' pricing as well. Your $500,000 house, rates go up a half a point. Math-wise, it's going to be lower, but psychologically, I think the buyers will be more inclined to be cautious with their purchasing, with their offer decision. All that being said, we're still, pockets of the market in Charlottesville are still seeing some multiple offers, and we're still seeing a lot of things are moving quickly. Some are not, and I think it's there's never a good answer to the question of how's the market doing. Because it really depends on where you're situated, whether you're looking to lease a single family home or you're looking to buy a home in the city or one in the county.
One of the things that we haven't spoken about so far during the hour with our guests, Jim Duncan from Ness Realty, Matt Hodges from Presidential Bank Mortgage, is University of Virginia. Certainly the something that sort of creeps through everything, not just in Charlottesville and Albemarle, but into all the other counties and even over the mountain. We have lots of people over the mountain who drive over to work at UVA. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the growth of UVA and what's going on there and how it affects everything else. Jim, you want to start?
For the most part, I think it's good. I mean, it's, I think that as UVA continues to grow, and if the American educational system remains stable, I think that UVA is going to continue to be an asset to our community. I mean, they're in the process, I think, of doubling their ER department, of increasing their OR. Departments within the university are increasing. They just, I'm sure they announced it months ago, but I just saw it the other day about how they're increasing the, they're going to tear down the Cavalier Inn. They're going to increase the, change the streetscape there where the Italian Villa used to be. They have a 100-year plan for how they envision themselves. So I think that they are a significant draw to Charlottesville and Albemarle. I mean, they're going to – I wrote a story a while ago based on a presentation I saw. I mean, they're considering completely redoing the UVA Research Park at North Fork. I mean, I think that they're going to be looking at doing residential construction up there as well as having live, work, play spaces there. And it's – that's the sort of thing that's going to significantly change the dynamic of the 29 North area. So I think that we're seeing people come here. Matt sees it, I see it, that a lot of our clients respectively are coming in, UVA professors or doctors or nurses or whatever they're doing within the university. Parents buying houses for their kids. they are a significant component of our market, for better or worse. I mean, I think that there's always the tension between UVA and city and the county. I think also from my view, transportationally, I think that I'd like to see more collaboration between the three parties. But I think that it's something that, on the whole, is a huge, huge asset, both culturally, socially, and economically to our area.
How do you do with someone who's moving to the area of any level in the stratus in terms of economics? How do you show them potential houses? And by that I mean somebody of a professor who might want to live close by, and their economic level may be a bit higher than somebody who's maybe, and again, I always have to watch myself in terms of stereotype, maybe a nurse who may need to live a little further out because Charlottesville, Albemarle is so expensive. What do you do in terms of asking questions to determine the types of homes and the cost of homes?
Well, with my incoming buyer clients, I have a, I think it's a 27-30 question survey I send out that asks them those questions. How many bedrooms do you need? What's your comfortable price point? Have you talked to a local lender? What do you need or want to be close to? What is close? My Northern Virginia clients think 45-50 minutes is close. My downtown Crozet people who walk to work, or downtown Charlottesville who walk 4 minutes to work, their perspectives are very different. So whether they're UVA affiliated or not, what is their comfortable price point? What is comfortable to them? What do they need or want to be close to? And we figure out from there. Some people come in with a mind of, I want to be in the 475 range, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2,300 square feet. And some come in saying, I'm meeting some folks, I think Monday, and they first time home buyers. And they said, we know we want a house. Where do we go from here?
Right.
And so that's a very different conversation. And that's where it's asking questions and listening to the answers and helping them devise a path forward. So it's and educating them on the market and the where and the time frame. I think that we each talk to our clients about life goals, frankly, which I'm 42 years old now. I'm not really sure I'm qualified to talk about life goals, but I just want to ride my bicycle more. But it's understanding, do they have kids? Are they going to? I had clients recently referred to me by her sister. And I asked them, they were talking about buying, and I sent them my survey, and she responded saying, here's the survey, and also I was told to tell you that we're never going to have kids. I was told that it was important to tell you. Which is, it is important, because that changes my dynamic. They need places for their two dogs. They need to, that I'm looking for a house with a good-sized yard for the dogs, which is a somewhat different search than a house for, parents, two kids, and a dog, or no dog. So it really is a matter of listening to what's important to them and helping them figure out what they want.
Two things on UVA. First is, our community wouldn't be what it is without UVA. It's simply, Charlottesville was built around the university. So let's realize the importance of that within all of our respective employments, our social lives, et cetera.
Right, whether you love it for the tourism or hate it on graduation weekend or not.
So realize, one, that it's so ingrained in what Charlottesville-Albemarle area is. The second thing is that incoming professors, staff, doctors are a bit unique in that, unlike most of my clients, they want to get into a house before they start their job, which can be a challenge, but it's something that we can do up to 60 days before their employment even starts.
Right. Are you talking about the length of time to look for a home?
No. I'm talking about the fact they physically want to be in their house June 15th because they start July 1st at the hospital. They start August 27th as a professor, and they want to be in July 15th. That's a huge impact. They are looking well in advance because they've got a guaranteed contract for at least 3 years, or they're on a tenure track.
And they can, correct me if I'm wrong, they can make a purchase decision based not on their having the last 90 days of pay stubs, but on here's a contract says
on, exactly on a contract from UVA that doesn't have contingencies, and they can close 60 days before their job starts if they're a veteran, 90 days before their job starts.
So, I mean, yeah, UVA, they impact every facet of our lives.
Just 3 minutes left with our guest today, Matt Hodges from Presidential Bank Mortgage and Jim Duncan from Nest Realty. By the way, you can go to Jim's realcentralva.com site and check out his the archives of his past writings. Check it out. Pretty interesting stuff. Gas prices are going up. We were talking about where people would live. How does that affect how far out somebody might be willing to buy a home?
When I post the show notes, I'll put a story up that was written a couple years ago. But I think it's important for people to understand that when they think they can afford more by going further out in the county rather than looking in the city, factoring in gas price math is important, because when gas goes to $3 or $4 a gallon, that changes the cost to get from here to there, and they can afford maybe a slightly more expensive home in the city versus 25 minutes out when they're paying $15 a day in gas. So I mean, I think it's financial, it's economic, but it's a significant psychological impact on our market. When prices go up, people are very mindful of drive time, cost of ownership, etc.
Do you ever have somebody decide, do people choose where to live based on the fact that they're, ooh, I like that Wegmans. Ooh, this is close to the Trader Joe's. Ooh, this is, that sort of thing.
And people are very loyal to their grocery stores. Wegmans is a whole show. Wegmans opened up the entire subset of the market. Redfields, Biscuit Run, Mosby Mountain, all of those are far more open to buyers because now they can shop 5 minutes away instead of having to drive to Kroger or Giant or wherever. The Wegmans Shopping Center area is a huge shift in our market. I saw Deadpool 2 yesterday or 2 days ago at Alamo Drafthouse. I mean, now I don't need to go into the city. I can go to the Alamo Drafthouse. So, I mean, it changes people's patterns of how they live.
The solution is a monorail.
It's all about the monorail.
Monorail.
Oh, my. So, again, you can go to Jim Duncan's realcentralva.com site. You got your next article? What are you going to write about?
I do now. I've got a whole list of notes that I've made during the show. So I'll have something up tomorrow recapping this and deviating a little bit here and there.
And you can find Jim at Nest Realty. You can also find Matt Hodges at Presidential Bank Mortgage. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick, thanks as always.
And next week, Teresa Sullivan will be here.
Wow. Big get.
Well, she will be here with Sean McCord. Sean will be doing his last show here for us. So, big get by Sean McCord. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.